Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks. Which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Making Moves. I'm here today with content creator Mario Selman.
Yay! Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for showing up in your most gorgeous hoodie ever.
Thank you. I told you already I had to do something for you since it's so early in the morning.
You're giving everything.
I'm doing it for TK. It's true.
Well, I'm so honored you came on the podcast because I was researching the hell out of you and you don't go on many people's podcasts.
It's true. It's mostly because I'm scared of the things that come out of my mouth most of the times.
Oh, really?
I don't think before I speak.
Okay.
Today, I'm going to work on that. It's a big goal of mine.
Okay, so you live in Los Angeles.
Well, yes.
And you were born and raised in Boca?
Not born, but raised.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you were born in Chile. I don't want to say it.
No, you got it, girl. You got it, girl.
Right, girl.
I love it.
Chile.
Yeah.
Did I say it right?
Like, actually, oh, slayed it. Yeah. Full slay.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud of
you're
myself.
You're Latina.
I'm literally Latina.
You're literally Latina.
Okay. So you were born in Chile, and then you moved to Boca Raton.
Yeah. When I was like 7 years old with my family. A lot of retired people. Ariana Grande was born there.
She was?
And then I came out of there. So that's the Boca Raton lore.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What was it like growing up there?
Very calm. I also, I don't know. When I talk about my childhood, it's like a roller coaster of things because, like, gay, Hispanic, new country, new language. I'm like, so many things were going on. I don't even know how it was, but it was like nice. I went to good schools.
How old were you when you moved there?
Like 7.
I mean, that's crazy.
Is it? Probably.
Yeah.
Potentially.
I mean, I was born and raised in Bloomington, Indiana.
So do you have like one?
And I'm white and speak English and I'm American. Like, do you know what I mean? Like the fact that you literally like went through all of that right. as a child okay. is so impressive.
That's what I was going to ask. I'm like, do you think that you growing up in one place, one thing, like.
I mean, change is hard normally.
Yeah.
So when you get used to something, I think it's a lot easier to grasp onto things. And
that's
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I had to translate like in school, like when we had to talk to the principal and stuff. I had to go into the meetings with my parents so I could translate for them. I'm like,
oh my god,
y'all gonna get a translator? I'm literally 7
I
or 8.
Can't
or
even imagine.
But so happy, and I went to High School of Arts. Like I.
Oh wow.
And, wait, I'm talking fucking way too much. But in middle school,
I
got
mean, like it's a podcast.
No, I know. In middle school, I got scouted by my chorus teacher, and she was like, "You're really talented. You're really good." And I was like, "Wait, what?" And she was like, "There's a High School of Arts 45 minutes away. Let me talk to your parents
in West
so
Palm.
You can audition." Yes.
I did my research, Mario.
You know where I went to school? That's insane. Okay. And that's insane. I've had a podcast and I've never done that much research. Okay. She talked to them. I auditioned for the school. I got in and then I got on YouTube and then left the high school. But anyways, loved the childhood. It was fun. It was good.
Okay. So when you were 7, you moved to Boca.
Yes.
And were you only fluent in Spanish at that time?
Yeah, but I was also already learning English at, like, a private school in Chile.
Okay.
So I think I came in knowing some. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And do you remember a lot from living in Chile?
No, mostly just, like, a mountain with, like, clouds and my house being, like, kind of at the top. And then we'd have to drive down for school.
Okay. And have you been back since?
Yes, I have. And it was the most amazing experience of my life ever.
Wow.
Ever.
When did you go?
Like, peak musically.
Okay.
So peak like just
oh my
me.
Gosh, so were people swarming you like crazy?
I've never had an experience like that in my life. And I went to a mall and I was like, hey guys, I'm in Chile. Like, I want to see my Chile people. Like,
on your,
whatever.
On Musical.ly?
No, on like Snapchat probably. Okay. Or like Instagram stories. Yeah, yeah. Something just like so like regular, normal uh-huh. and day to day. And I say like, I'm going to be at this mall at this time. I show up at the mall. Police has to like take me to a bike rack. I don't know how they knew that I got there. Oh, my cousin was there before me, and they were like, Mario, you can't come.
Really?
And I was like, wait, what's going on? And they were like, police is barricading everyone. They're creating lines. People are being crazy, blah, blah. And I'm like, who's showing up? Is Kim here?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm so confused.
Yeah.
Then I showed up. Police cars were, like, surrounding a like a bike shack, and that's where they had to hide me until they had everything, like,
you
situated.
You were literally Hannah Montana.
It was the most insane experience. And then I walk out of the bike shack with, like, 18 security guards around me. The girls, thank you, girls, tore their, like, uniforms off, Sharpie stabbed them, like, were being so crazy that I had to sprint and run away from, like, the herd of hundreds of people. And, like, the police, like, line was, like, being demolished. So all I saw was just, like, people falling. And then I had to turn around and start running with my cousin into a escaping police car. That might be my coolest story I've ever actually
Wait,
had.
Wait, that's insane. That's insane, Mario.
Yeah, I'm a star. What?
No, yeah.
Y'all are pissed. Sorry.
Look at your hoodie.
I'm like, and this is why I act the way I act, actually.
Yeah.
This makes sense. No, that is peak, like, feeling the numbers in your life kind of thing.
How old were you at that time?
17, probably.
And how many people would you estimate were there at the mall?
I actually don't know. You know I didn't even get a chance to, like, do any of the well, a little bit of the meet and greet before it got crazy, but it could have. I probably could have gone forever. I don't know.
I mean, that is insane. Mm-hmm. What were you feeling like in the moment? And now looking
Scared.
Back, what do you feel like?
In the moment, terrified.
Really?
Just so scared because I was like, my family, I don't want anyone to get hurt. I don't want the girls to get hurt. I don't want yeah. the police officers to be mad. And then I don't want to get hurt. Mm-hmm. So I was just scared and confused.
That
rightfully
makes sense.
So.
Was your family there with you?
Yeah, because we thought it was going to be like way more chill. Like I've done a million, I toured for 2 years straight, like mm-hmm. everywhere in the world. Like it's just like, I've done this so many times. I never expected that to be the outcome.
Mm-hmm. What was your hometown?
Yeah. And like Latin people are great. Like the Latin fans are so hardcore, it's insane.
Mm-hmm. Looking back on that moment in your life, like, how do you feel?
Proud. A lot of the time, clearly, like, last year I went through, like, you know, the team changes and all of that stuff. Uh-huh. And just, like, feeling not so big and feeling small and just like feeling not very like confident. But then I think of things like that and I'm like, girl, people like you for a reason. Like you know what you're doing it for a reason. So I'm glad I have that memory because it brings confidence actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting to me that you say, like, you know, last year when I blah, 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 because from my perspective, Mario, I'm not just like here to gas you up, but like, I'm just saying like, I would never in a million years think that you would doubt yourself ever. Seriously.
I think I do a good job of like hiding it mm-hmm. so bad, like so well. Last year was awful.
Really?
Yeah, in terms of confidence and like just like believing in myself in any way, shape, or form.
Do you think that was your worst year?
In terms of that, yes.
Mentally?
Not like depression and anxiety, but
like self-doubt.
Yeah, like I felt so like small. And like I brought people around me in my like close circle, which is the worst thing to do also if you were like have something going for so long and you like know what works for you, to bring someone else new in that like disrupts the entire synergy that's going on. Like that's what happened to me, and I was just like, oh, you don't believe it. Like it was just, it got so bad. And you know when you put like faith in other people and yeah. You want to hear good things from them, but mm-hmm. then you don't hear that and you're just like, so I'm doing everything wrong mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and I'm worthless. Mm-hmm. That was me.
It sounds like you had energy suckers around you.
Yeah, and I don't want to blame people, but mm-hmm. as soon as like the ties were cut in December, because mm-hmm. I was like, I need to go into this new year like so clean slated. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm going to drown. But as soon as I did that, like I'm posting on YouTube again consistently. I'm
period.
Like, filming. I'm going on a trip in 2 days. I just came back from New York. Like I'm like, change is hard for me, I think.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because you would think someone like you would be so used to change by now. But the funny thing about change is that it's never really easy.
I agree. Yeah. I would also assume that I'm really good at it.
Yeah. Because like, you've dealt with so much change even as a child. Mm-hmm. But it's still hard as you grow up.
Yeah.
What do you feel like has been, we talked about your worst year, I guess, self-doubt wise. What do you feel like has been your best year of life so far?
You ask good questions. Wait.
Thanks, Mario.
I really like the year that, and I know we're really throwing it back here, but when I was touring, mm-hmm. just getting into, I didn't appreciate it in the moment as much. Like, you know, when you're young,
absolutely.
You just don't appreciate, you don't tap into what's going on. But going like with friends and family and meeting like fans around the world and like getting to visit all these cities and new countries and all that stuff, I'm like, what kind of life? Like, that was iconic.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And I got to travel and I got to show my mom, like, Paris and shit. Like, I'm just like, so that, I think that to me, if I could do that every single year, I probably would.
That's insane. You really lived that year.
100%. And every single day was something. Mm-hmm. Like, whether it was getting on a plane or, like, making content in a new city or just, like, doing a meet and greet or a show or preparing also that we had rehearsals because I would sing on tour. Mm-hmm. So I would rehearse for a couple months, get my in-ears done. Like, it was just like, it was very fun to tour.
Crazy.
That was my favorite time.
Okay, I want to dissect that moment in your life a little bit. Mm-hmm. How did that even come to fruition?
It was one of the first things that came with my career.
Yeah, which is crazy. So not normal.
Right. It was probably because of the MacCon boys. It was that era.
Oh.
Now that I'm thinking about it, yep.
Okay.
So I started on YouNow and was just going live every day, and I had a good audience. Built a good audience. Okay. Yeah. So.
And YouNow at the time was like what now? Like TikTok Live?
No, there's nothing like YouNow. And I want us to talk about this because I feel like we're both OG, so uh-huh. we understand like the difference and like
yeah.
depth
yeah.
when it comes to like fan bases and shit like that. YouNow was special because everyone that was on that platform was a part of the like YouNow community, and then it was just such an engaging time. Like I would go live and I would have like thousands and thousands of people watching me with like every single person like commenting and playing games and all that stuff. So everyone was really a part of the community. With that, I think the touring company saw the power that we had with that.
What were you doing on the lives?
Talking, having a good time with my friends.
And you were what, 16 at the time?
15.
15 at
probably.
The time.
15, 16.
And did your parents know you're going live every day? Mm-hmm. Okay, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Did they like it? No.
Okay.
They took down my door at one point. Fair. Mm-hmm. I was in a high school of arts trying to like balance a million things. Like it was just like, they were like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. And was everyone at your high school like, oh my gosh, this guy is famous?
I was thinking about, I was with my friend from home literally a couple of days ago, and I was thinking about this. Bitches were crazy. You bitches are actually insane, and honestly, get a life. They would literally take pictures of me in the library, make a fake fan page, and, like, post, like, imagine, I was thinking about this, like, that's, my friend was laughing about it, but that's bullying.
No, it is.
What if I was a weak-minded person? Oh, wait, sorry, no offense if you're weak-minded. But what if I was really weak, and I, like, couldn't take that sort of shit? Thank God I don't give a fuck, and I know no, I'm better literally. Than all of you, but, oh, my God. That was awful. They would just bully me all the time, and I didn't realize then, I don't think, that it was bullying. I was just, like, more so scared to just get my picture taken. Mm-hmm. But looking back, and I'm like, go do your homework.
No, it's crazy. Did you have any solid friends through that time that weren't, I guess, flip-floppy?
I did have friends, and I think I ended up just, like, carrying two high school friends with me, like, to my adulthood mm-hmm. life, and she's one of them.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why people wouldn't keep in touch after that, because it's like, I was there for 2 years, and mm-hmm. then I dipped, and then went on tour.
People were probably scared to reach out.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes too, I mean, I'm way smaller than you, but like sometimes I'll meet up with people or run into them when I'm back in my hometown. They're like, oh my God, like you're the exact same. I'm like, yeah. Like, well, yeah, yeah, of course I am.
I would
but I
hope.
Think people think, because sometimes people do go, they move to LA and they completely change their life and act different, you know? And I get it sometimes.
I wonder if I did. I wonder, like, look, I really wonder if I've changed or not.
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't think I have. I don't feel like I have. Mm-hmm. I feel like morally and values wise, like core me is still the same. But I do think.
Well, of course, you've changed in different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. But morally and yeah, your core is probably very similar, yeah. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, you were going live on You Now, and how many people were tuning in?
Oh my God, I remember when it was like peak, every day would just be like 10,000 people watching. Like,
I mean, that's pretty crazy.
It was so fun.
Every
There's
day.
Nothing like this now.
No.
Let's talk about it. There's nothing like this now. Mm-mm. Where's the communities? Where's the people? Where's the loyalty? Where's the love?
It was a lot more diehard, I feel like, back in the day.
Do you think because there were less of us?
Yeah.
So people.
I think there were less creators, and I think it was so new. So it was just like, oh my gosh, this person's just documenting their everyday life. Like that was so fresh that it was almost like groundbreaking. But I think at the time it was so like, whoa, this is what other people are doing like on a daily basis.
Okay.
Maybe.
It was just new. Yeah, for sure. You're right.
Yeah. And I will say the only thing that I guess I could compare it to, which I wasn't a You Now person, but maybe like streamers,
like who stream every day. Yeah. Absolutely,
Twitch
Wait,
streamers.
Yes, yes, yes.
I feel like it's rare to stream and not be streaming, like playing a game.
Yeah, sure. Unless it's like TikTok Live now.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you TikTok Live that, has kind of been popping up. I feel like it's been going off
yeah,
a little
but it's
lately.
Different. They're doing battles.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're making coin.
100%. I've done it. Don't play.
Yeah, I love a TikTok battle.
I don't do it anymore, but I did like two of them. And I saw what's also fun about it. You like get everyone riled up and like
it's have super a good fun. Time.
So I understand, but there was something about the like genuine want to just go live every day just to talk to people mm-hmm. and just like show things and interact that was like so special.
How did you discover YouNow?
In high school, I think someone told me that my friends were doing it.
Okay.
And so I was like, this is fun. This is cool and exciting. And I'm bored at home alone. Let me try. And then I tried.
So you're going live on YouNow. You're getting 10K viewers per live stream. And someone noticed. And they're like, we need to take this guy on tour.
Okay. Wait. They noticed before I think I was hitting the 10K viewers. I was probably like 3-5K.
Really?
But yeah. But they noticed that every single day, though, and anytime I go live, people like that show up. So it's like that shows that like if you go to a city, people will probably show
so
up.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because live is so specific.
Yeah.
Like the viewer, you have to tune in. Live is crazy.
And to be engaged for that amount of hours and like with just whatever, like live content's also just like what it is.
Yeah.
So it's just like you really have to want to be there to be there mm-hmm. and engage. But yeah, he saw it and then he reached out. My parents were like, what the hell? No. And then I was like trying to explain a little more to them, like, this could be something. And they were like, oh, wait, this could be something. And they said yes. First tour was, I think, like 5 or even 10 cities. I don't know.
And what cities?
First city ever, I think, was Houston, Texas.
And okay.
Like, probably like New York, probably LA. I'm guessing like the big ones.
And what were you doing on tour?
That first tour ever, I was new to all of this, so I didn't get to like creatively put my input in. But just meet and greet, I think. And I think I also, like, did a little – I choreographed a dance for me and the other guys to
– Slay.
Do a little dance segment on the
Wait,
tour.
Wait, you and the other guys?
There were a few other guys, yeah. This was my straight era. was it YouNowers? I don't even remember. Oh, yeah, they might have all been YouNowers.
Wait, so were you not out yet?
Fuck no.
Shut up.
That's – yeah, no. Fuck no. Oh, my God. Ew. Sorry.
So were all your fans like girly pops being really into you?
Were the girlies into me?
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, I get I meet fans maybe daily. Or okay, daily's crazy because I don't go out that much. But often, every time I meet a fan, someone will come up to me and go, I used to have the biggest crush on you. I'd be like,
aww.
And I just go, sorry, I'm gay. Sorry. She's like, I know, it's okay. Like,
so you were on tour and you did what, like 5-ish cities?
Uh-huh.
And then when was the big world tour?
I think as soon as we got off that tour, he was like, this is cool. Let's keep going. So they renewed it. I think they flew me out to Texas to like do rehearsals again. And then we had a bigger tour announcement. Oh, my God. It was so fun. There was so much that went into
it. Was
it
the same group?
Semi. Okay. Some of the people.
And how many people were coming to meet you like on tour?
A lot.
Like per show?
In the smaller cities, like a few hundred. Like the big, big tour, it was like over 500 every city, and then like the big cities, I don't even know what the number was, mm-hmm. but it was just like a really good time.
I mean, that's
time.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Looking back, were you like, holy shit, I can't believe I did that?
Hell yeah. Looking back, not holy shit, I did that. I can't believe I did that, but like, I'm so lucky that I got to do that and experience mm-hmm. that and know what that is like. I actually think about this a lot. Like, a lot of people in LA now, a lot of influencers don't get to have, like, the range of, like, I got to tour like a Madcon boy, and then I also got to be in COVID where it's just, like, no one gets to see you. I feel like I got to live a lot of, like, the influencer roller coaster.
Okay.
That I'm very thankful for now because there's moments that we need to humble ourselves, mm-hmm. and there's moments we need to bring out that, like, star power that you need, and mm-hmm. I feel like I have more of a grasp on that.
I feel like you got to experience the ultimate seeing the views in real life type of thing.
Yeah.
Because that is always so mind-boggling to me. Like thinking about if I'm in SoFi Stadium watching a football game and thinking like, okay, this stadium holds like what, 75,000 people? Like 75K views I think about. And I'm like, oh my God.
Okay, I don't like that.
Isn't that crazy?
I didn't like that.
But then you think about SoFi and you're like, holy shit, this is huge. But sometimes I'm like 75K views isn't. Not that it's not that many, because it is a lot of views, but when you think about it with the amount of people in real life, that's insane.
Sick.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you went on the world tour, what were your favorite cities you got to visit?
Paris, I loved a lot, kind of. Actually, I didn't get to like do anything except for work, mm-hmm. but still loved it. Amsterdam, I think, was really cool. It mm-hmm. was different for me to see as like a young child.
Mm-hmm.
London
so
was
cool.
Sick with my family. Actually, that's a great memory. I remember me and my mom in like our coats and stuff.
Aww. And
that was cute.
When did you come to terms with your sexuality? At this moment in time, you're on tour. Did you?
No idea.
You had no idea?
I have no idea what I was thinking. I don't know where I was mentally. Got it. I don't know if I trauma blocked it or something. I talked about it in my coming out video. I'm like, do more research. No, I'm kidding. But I said, I think something that held me back from coming out for a long time, and it's not y'all's fault. I love you, seriously, and I'm grateful. But obviously having the girls, like, you know, knowing me a certain way and, like,
absolutely
praising me a certain way and, like, loving me a certain way, mm-hmm. to rip that away was very too much for me.
Well, it's scary. It's scary.
Awful.
Without all of that.
Yeah.
It's so scary without all of that.
Yeah.
But with that on top of it, I cannot even imagine.
Yeah. So that's why I'm like, I don't know what I was feeling. I think I was just trying to navigate it every day. Mm-hmm. And also not, I was trying not to think about it. I don't think I was thinking about it every day. Also, I was with guys all the time and I was like in hotel rooms and then a show and then a rehearsal and then make, it's just like everything was so chaotic and quick that I was just like, there were other issues mm-hmm. at the forefront of my mind.
So what age were you when you made the coming out video?
Maybe 18.
18? Okay.
Maybe.
Amazing. And how was the response from your perspective?
Graceful, beautiful. I don't know. I really don't know. It was nice. It was normal. Mm-hmm. It was just like what I would expect.
Amazing.
Like if anyone comes out, just be supportive. Thank God.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Seriously. And how was it coming out to your family?
I came out to my mom and my sister while I was like on the toilet. And then...
On the toilet?
Yeah. Number two.
Okay, that's so Elvis of you.
I was scared to come out to my dad because, you know, we're Hispanic and shit like that. So I was mm-hmm. like, Mom, like, will you tell dad? And she was like, what? Like, you tell dad. I was like, fuck, okay. And then I think she gave him a little heads up and then we had a conversation. They came to visit me like in November or October last year. Last year is crazy. Like, we're in 2024. That's insane. But they came to visit me and my dad. We were driving to like Target to go buy bug spray because I was like, dad, there's bugs in my house. And he was like, okay.
That's obviously a dad errand. Yeah.
I'm like, come on, please. And while we were there, he got silent for a second. I was like, mm-mm. And then he goes, Mario, we have to talk about this. I go, what? He goes, you need a boyfriend. Like, you need a relationship. Like, what's going on? You need to be taken. I was like, wait, please stop talking about this right now. I'm going to crash the car into a light post. Like, but then I got home and I was like, he was bug spraying. And I go to my mom and sister, I go, dad just said that I like need to get in a relationship. That was really beautiful.
Cute.
And they were like, oh. But I was like, ew. It was just awful. It's so uncomfortable.
I mean, when my dad's like, have you been on any dates? I'm like, oh, don't ask me that. Like, it's just weird.
And you're a straight woman?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, wait. So then I'm chilling. Never mind.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things. Oh, this feels weird, like talking to my dad about sometimes. Uh-huh. Like my love life, you know?
Awful.
But moms, it's different because it's just like,
that's
at
me
least
and the girls.
Me.
Yeah, no, that's
like
me and the girls.
Me and the girls, yeah.
So different.
And I feel like moms just get it versus dads, like, it's sometimes hard for them to wrap their head around things. Like, my dad will be
100%.
Like, 100%. Yeah. I feel like it's hard to sometimes connect. I mean, I literally talk to my dad. I mean, love him to death, but like the things he loves to talk to me about are sports, my car registration, taxes, insurance.
Do we have the same dad?
Yeah, like, no, okay, like, that's the conversation with every dad, right?
Oh, wow, that's insane. Okay.
Bug spray.
But I love, I've been, like, this era of my life, I keep telling my younger sister, like, you're going to love our parents soon, I promise, because I love talking to those bitches.
Yeah, they're amazing.
They're dope.
Uh-huh.
And they get it, and they're just looking out for me, and I love them.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Wait, that's so beautiful.
I've always loved my parents, and I've always said, like, I want to give everything that they've given to me back, mm-hmm. but just now I'm like, way more appreciative. Also, I think just being belittled by people closest to me mm-hmm. last year.
Absolutely.
I'm like, let me keep the good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My blood.
Yeah, my blood.
My bloodline.
They want the good for me.
What made you appreciate them so much in addition to being surrounded by some shitty people, you feel?
I think I'm always, and it's honestly like a bad thing because there's a lot of guilt in my heart all the time, which is awful. But I think about just my mom going to tour with me and then having to be apart from my dad and like them moving from Chile to here probably just for us,
which,
like,
is insane,
just like so many
huge
little
sacrifice.
Things that I'm just like, they've done so much for me, so I have to do everything in my power. Like there are points where I'm like depressed as shit and I'm like, I'm not gonna work, I'm not gonna do anything, career's over. Never that. But thinking those things, then I'm like, wait, no, because you have to literally take your family to Bali and you have to take your family to Mykonos and buy them a house and like buy them a car, just like anything I can do mm-hmm. to give back, even though they don't want that or need it.
I mean, that's incredible.
I just appreciate them.
What are some things you've learned from them growing up that you still keep in your core to this day?
My dad is really financially responsible.
Wow.
He does not spend. Well, I get a call every month being like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, the spending is insane. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm just a girl. Like, it's honestly, it's really hard. It's really hard for me out here in LA.
That's literally me with my dad. I'm just a girl.
No, I'm working on it, though. I really am working on budgeting.
Yeah, you told me that at the Summer Fridays.
Good. Okay.
You were like, I'm working on budgeting.
Yeah, and it's true. I am. I was in New York and I only bought a sweater. That's huge for me.
That is progress.
That's huge for me.
Congrats.
Dad, listen. Actually, you only speak Spanish.
Wait, he's still only fluent in Spanish?
100%. Just became a citizen.
Good Wait, for him. Congrats.
But like,
That's
can't
awesome.
Even speak the language fluently.
But he had to take the test. The test is hard.
Yeah. He's so funny. He like does not. He was literally going to wait like to not have to take the test, just like to live here a certain amount of years. And I was like, dude, you are the last one in the family who doesn't have the citizenship. Just get it done.
Can your mom speak English?
Better. She takes classes. She's diligent. She like, wants to learn. Not my dad. He just like, he likes to do his business work that I don't even know if he does it in Spanish or English. Probably Spanish. And then he likes to play tennis and soccer. And pickleball now.
Oh, I love pickleball.
I love pickleball.
Wait,
do you
play? Need to
play?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I just got two paddles sent in the mail.
Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed. I play all the time.
Okay, wait, we have to play,
also,
please, actually.
You burn so many calories while playing pickleball. This is what the girlies aren't talking about enough. The other day, I played, I'm not kidding you, like an hour and a half of pickleball. I burned over 1,000 calories via my Apple Watch. And
wow.
I believe everything it says.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I also, your ass.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I went home for the holidays, played pickleball with my dad and my sister.
And you
Such
got
a
fat
time.
Ass.
Ow. Oh, the way I could not walk. The cheeks were like stiff. The cheeks were bricks. It was bad. It was bad. It was bad.
We have to play.
Hurt so bad. Absolutely.
I'm obsessed. It's
Are you
so
good?
Fun. I would say I'm pretty decent.
I'm pretty decent too.
Okay, period.
Let's do it.
I played tennis growing up.
Me too.
So, okay, perfect.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, I love playing with someone who's pretty good.
Me too.
Because it makes me better.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's more of a workout.
When I play with my dad versus my sister, I'm like, okay, let's get it on.
Yeah, no, literally.
Love you, sis, though. You're iconic and really good at this, and I'm really proud of you. Real estate queen. Sorry.
See, it's my mom that's good. The moms be going crazy
oh
in the Midwest
God. I
with
wish
pickleball.
My mom could play.
They, like, I feel like parents in general. They love pickleball. And that's what's awesome about it is when you grow up, you can still play it.
Yeah.
Okay. So things that your parents have taught you. Your dad's very financially savvy. Mm-hmm. So what has he taught you?
He's taught me things that I didn't listen to. And now looking back, I'm like, God, I should have listened to you so bad.
Like what?
Like spending a large amount of money on rent. I think I talked to you about this on Summer Fridays a little bit. He was like, you're stupid. You're dumb. Put this into, well, first of all, I also, while touring and all that stuff, I will give him the credit. Like, I invested my money into properties and stuff like that. So I'm very
into
like,
properties?
Yeah, like, thanks to
what
him.
What properties?
In Florida.
Whoa. So do you have rental properties?
Well, yes.
Well, yes. And you still have them?
Well, yeah.
Wait, Mario, this is insane.
I'm getting honestly nervous.
You own rental properties?
Yeah, thanks to my dad. He does. I think that's what he does for a living ish.
Okay.
Maybe.
And he runs them like Airbnbs or VRBO.
No, just like where people rent them.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's incredible.
I don't think of myself as like a business person. We were just talking about how I need to take on 8 meetings next week. I can't, and it freaks me out. But I have to. So.
Do you feel like that's your biggest weakness when it comes to being a content creator, like the business side of things?
It's not that I'm like I bet if I like. Was here like and wanted to do it, like I really would be good at it. It's just like I don't want to do that. I don't want to deal with that. I want to just like focus on creating, focus on dreaming the big goals, the like all of the things that matter to me.
Yeah.
And I get that business is such an important part of our job, so like I understand, but like I don't want to like that's why we have teams, so they can deal with that.
Yeah.
That's
I get
why
it.
Some of us have teams.
Okay, so your dad while you were young was like, hey, you should invest this money.
Uh-huh.
In rental properties. And was there anything else he said you should invest in it?
No, I always was like, let's get an accountant and let's invest in this. And he was just like, okay, whatever. But one thing that he was always saying is like, don't throw your money away in rent. Like, stop spending. Like, I was just like, I want to live in a beautiful place. It'll make me want to do so much content and blah, blah, blah. Girl, it's not your environment. It's you, first of all. Because I would always say, I lived in a house with a movie theater room. I lived in a house with like 4 stories. I'm just like, none of it matters at the end of the day. You can live in a... I lived in a 1-bedroom apartment for a minute, and it was, like, the best I've ever had because I had my perfect little window, and I had my perfect little setup and my bed and everything. It was just, like, it doesn't matter on the space sometimes. But he was just, like, don't spend money on rent, and I did. I threw so much money out on rent. It was like actually sick.
How much?
I'm like, I could calculate it, but I don't know. But LA rent is just crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. And then I was just like, Dad, I need to do it for myself. He was like, and I did it.
Was he wanting you to more so buy a property?
Well, he was just like, if you're going to spend that much, you should at least buy. But also, he wasn't helping me in buying. So honestly, like, but I understand now. Now I'm like, oh my God, anyone that tells me they pay that much in rent, I'm like, you are so silly. You are so silly because just no one should be doing that. No one, no matter if you're making, like, doesn't matter how much money you're making. I'm so sorry. Just don't throw money away like that. Mm-hmm. But also, I think it's my dad engraving his money thing.
Well, it's true. It is true. It's, rent is crazy. And I can't even imagine, like, what is crazy to me is that New York's even more expensive than LA. And LA is expensive. I know. And that's where you want to go. Your dad taught you financial advice. What about your mom? What did she teach you growing up?
Oh, God. I was trying to think of something positive. She taught me how to be stubborn, but that's not positive. I think she just taught me how to be, like, emotionally, like, understand my emotions. She's a psychologist.
Oh, wow.
She was a psychologist and now works with my dad. She was a psychologist in Chile.
Wow.
Yeah, so now I ask her a lot of things just, like, about friendships and life and all these things because I'm like, girl, you studied it. Like, what's going on? She just taught me how to, like, hone in mm-hmm. on specific things and, like, compartmentalize emotions and situations.
So how do you do that?
Well, actually, not well now. I probably need to get back into, like, working with her through that or a therapist, honestly, like a real one. But essentially, it would just be, you know, in when you're touring or anything, like, really chaotic and stuff, I think, or on set even, you have to focus on doing your scene really well, but then also there's probably a million things going on in the personal life, and then you also have, like, your team and your trailer talking to you about a million things. So I used to get really, like, overwhelmed to the point where I would just, like, be numb with everything and just, mm-hmm. like, kind of float through it all. And I would just talk to her, and she would just, like, be like, you're here, you have to focus on this right now, and tell, like, your manager, like, let's hold off on this for a couple hours, mm-hmm. and, like, just kind of helping me, like, compartmentalize think so I can be the best at this, then be the best
and
at this.
And be present in whatever's in front of your face.
Yeah. I struggled with, like, presence.
That's hard.
Sometimes.
It is hard. I feel like it's also hard just with anyone, like, being truly present with our phones now being in front of us. Like, it's such a, almost like a coping mechanism. Like, we're, like, constantly tied into the phone, or, like, if we don't want to be a part of something, we're, like, acting like we're on our phone.
Yeah.
Like, in the elevator,
oh my God, yeah.
The amount of times I'm acting like I'm on my phone and I'm not. Like, why
stop
do I
doing
do that?
It. You have to stop doing it. Slowly. I've slowly stopped to do it. Truly. Because I don't like this thing as much anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Have you ever had that happen where you're, like, fully present and you feel a shift?
That is such an interesting question. Yes, I feel like I talk about all the time, one of my favorite feelings in the world is having, like, an insanely great conversation where we're like, locked in. Uh-huh. When I'm having an amazing conversation, we're, like, finishing each other's sentences. I'm learning so much. I'm, like, immersed in it. And sometimes I recognize when I'm in that, like, holy shit, it's happening.
Oh, okay,
with people.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, my God. Like, it just feels like a dance.
Fluid,
we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like, oh, my gosh, this is so candid. This is so real. This is so... It's perfect. It's like we're just literally finishing each other's sentences. I do sometimes recognize, like, holy shit, it's happening, because it's rare.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I'll look back and be like, that was really great.
Wow.
Versus, like, being in the moment, recognizing, holy shit, I'm so present right now.
Yeah.
It's more so I'll look back on that and be like, that was a fabulous conversation. I should go do that again.
Wait, I love that. I need to have more moments like that. For me, it's more so when I'm watching something and I think I get out of my head for the first time ever. And I feel like I'm just like...
Oh, like when you're watching a show or something?
No, like seeing anything. It could be anything. Like, it could be a show, it could be just people watching, could be, like, listening to someone talk. Like, I'm just like, I feel a sort of, like, I leave my head for a second. I'm just like, here.
Whoa.
And that doesn't happen to me often. I think I live in my head now mm-hmm. that I'm thinking about it. So maybe that's why.
I mean, same. I think a lot of us do. Even, do you ever have moments where you're like, well, I can't get out of my head right now?
Every day of my life. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Every day. Every day.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Is it, maybe, is that anxiety? Like, generalized anxiety, or what is that?
I'm not entirely sure. I would definitely attribute it, or some of it, to being anxiety.
Yeah, I wonder what it is.
Probably anxiety.
Would love to be present. Honestly, making that a goal this year.
Mm-hmm.
to be completely present.
Okay, so what actions are you going to take to help accomplish that goal?
God, I hate you because you're really trying to put action into my words. Okay, to get to my goals, I will put my phone down more. I will also, I like what you said, I'm going to probably try and like have deeper conversations, which with me might be a little hard, but I feel like that might be really good. Mm-hmm. And be sober.
Okay, period.
Slay. Because I feel like that takes you, like, that makes you be more present, right? Because yeah. I feel like at every party I go to or did go to last year, I was always having to, like, get a little drinky in me to talk to people.
Uh-huh.
Not this year. I don't need that this year.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be here.
Yeah.
And you get what you get.
You know what? One thing I've learned, I'm doing 75 hard right now.
I know. I follow.
And Mario, you're the best. One thing I've noticed about socializing is because I've been going to parties sober, and I've noticed who is a great conversationalist versus really who's not, and like who needs a drink as a crutch, which I'm not judging. Like sometimes people need that and that's totally fine. But my goal is to be a great conversationalist and socializer.
Same.
Without needing a crutch.
Like I always hear that I'm... Yeah, check this one out. I always hear that I'm like the life of the party. Like,
yeah.
I'm so fun. I'm such a good time.
You
like,
are.
But what if I'm not like I want to be that all the time. Like, not with the drinking inside of me.
I feel like you... I just get nervous. Okay. I mean, everyone does.
Yeah.
At the Summer Fridays event, were you drinking?
Champagne.
Okay.
I had two glasses of champagne.
Okay, because I thought you were like so life of the party, so fun, so kind.
Champagne.
Like, I left that conversation being like, wow, he made me feel so good. Like, I really love him.
That's my favorite compliment. I don't know if you actually said it as like a compliment just now, but I got it. On my birthday, someone swiped up
it
and said.
It was an insult.
Yeah. I'm leaving.
Someone on your birthday?
Yeah, they DM'd me and they go, it was the first time I ever heard someone say it, but I'm like, this might be true about me. It's because I do focus on this a lot. She was like, I love you so much. Happy birthday. Like, you are so loving and like so good at making people feel seen. And that to me was like, That's a compliment I've like wanted my entire life, I think. Just like your actions towards other, like, I don't know. I do, if I feel anyone like walking three steps behind or like not getting, someone just got a hug, but then I see this person not getting a hug, immediately my brain is like, hug this person now.
Yeah.
Bring them in. No one's like that. Or not no one, but a lot of people are not like that. And I pride that I'm like that. So hearing that from her was insane, sickening. I love that. And then semi-hearing it from you just now.
I just remember specifically at that event, our conversation was so short and sweet, but I remember being very impressed by you. And because, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of people are good at doing the small talk, especially in this influencer world. They're really good at blowing smoke up your ass or just like saying what they say to everyone.
Yeah.
And I felt like what you said to me was short but sweet, but very intentional, and it felt genuine.
That's how any conversation should be.
And I was like, oh my God, he is such, like, I was like, wow, you're really a real one. Because I don't know you that well. But I was like, wow, he's really a real one. And it made me feel so good about myself, whether it was true or not.
Completely true.
But I left and I literally went to dinner with my friends afterwards. And I was like, guys, do you know Mario? He is so nice. He literally just made my day.
Wait, that's seriously. So sweet. I'm glad. I'm happy. And I hate that people even question conversations in LA. Like, that pisses. That's why I want to move to New York. That's why I want to get the hell out of here. But also, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I don't like that here people will just say anything, not mean it, blow smoke up your ass for no reason. Like, any conversation I'm having, like, I was saying it short and sweet to you because that's exactly how I felt. It is the genuine truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not saying the truth, then I'm not going to say anything at all. I don't know why people, like, struggle with that in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I attribute a lot of it to the people we're surrounding ourselves with. I don't think it's everyone in Los Angeles. I don't think it's the city.
I get it. Everyone has to protect themselves out here, kind of. So I understand that aspect, but like, not that much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're all human at the end of the day.
Yeah. I feel like I struggle with this too, but it's so obvious who's blowing smoke and who isn't. Or do you feel like everyone across the board is pretty much blowing smoke?
I might be oblivious. Like, I don't know. I have a tough time differentiating when people are like blowing smoke up my ass or just like, I actually don't know.
Uh-huh.
So maybe my entire argument that I've had this past like 10 minutes is like completely invalid.
I think it's really a tough thing in LA.
It is a tough thing. I don't think this is a thing we can hone in on.
No, like, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard. I feel like I'll be talking about it and I'm like believing what I'm saying in the moment. And then I'm like, fuck, I'm thinking of a person who screwed me over.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just like, so situational. You're right.
It varies. What I will say, though, is like, I think a lot of people like to blame influencers for blowing smoke, which I agree. Like, they do blow smoke and they are full of shit sometimes. But I think even non-influencer people can be just as shitty. My creator self wants to stand up for the awesome creators who are genuine and who are great people,
yeah,
who like get categorized into that, oh, LA creators suck, mm-hmm, type of thing. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think, I mean, I love my New York creator friends, but I don't think they're way better.
Okay.
I would say.
I like that.
You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Nice.
Because I think a lot of people are like, oh, New York people are so real. Which, like,
that's what I think.
Yeah, which so, yeah. I agree. They probably are to an extent, but I'm like, I do know a lot of awesome, real, down to earth LA creators.
Yeah, you're like, it's not the city, it's you. It's not the apartment, it's you. It's not the city, it's you. Okay. That's the point.
But I will say, like, I would say if you're going to compare LA and New York, LA probably is a lot more phony than New York people, just in general. I want to talk about right now in your life, you're making a lot of changes. This podcast is called Making Moves. What are you trying to do in your life to make moves right now?
So much. I've told you a little bit about it off camera, but changing, I've had, you know, teams with me my entire life. Right now is the first time in my life that I'm looking for a completely new, I guess it's a whole rebrand then, huh? Mm-hmm. Is that what people call it these days?
I guess so, yeah.
I guess it is, but it's just such a transitional period. Everything's like up to me to make the choices again, and I feel very like in control of everything. I think last year, I mentioned this in my YouTube video, but everything just felt really in the air. Mm-hmm. So I had no control of anything. Nothing felt like, it was just, everything was just like hard to grasp, but now, baby, it's all here.
Which is amazing.
So now I'm gonna get to choose everything. So first move I need to make is get my like team together, get the mm-hmm. people that I know have the best interest for me, mm-hmm. will come get me if a tire pops, like all that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, need those people around. And then my lease is up in April. I am thinking about maybe moving to New York, maybe
awesome.
Moving back to Hollywood, because, you know, I live in the Valley now, oh, yeah. So it's a little bit further from like events and mm-hmm. friends and all that stuff. So maybe Hollywood again. I'm back on YouTube posting weekly, which is like a mental strain for sure. And all my friends, Antonio, Amanda, like everyone's like, Mar, you need to get an editor, like so bad. And I'm like, not yet. So yeah, I'm like struggling with that, but it's making me very happy to like have something to like put a lot of energy towards.
Mm-hmm. What about an editor to rough cut and then you do all the rest?
I could do that. Cause I was thinking about a rough, cause the cutting, oh my God.
Yeah.
But like, for example, I filmed a Fortnite video last night with two other friends. How are they going to know whose face to put where and like, which screen to put where? It has to be me. I'm sorry. And I don't care that I'll take 48 hours of death to put this video up. For now, it's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. It feels very intentional. And that's like my biggest goal of this year is to be intentional mm-hmm. with anything I do. Shit. And I just want to keep working towards like fashion. Like, I want to keep, you know, going to New York Fashion Week next month for men's.
I so see you in men's high fashion, elevated. I'm so excited for this rebrand for you because I think it's going to be a chapter that is going to be your most epic chapter yet.
I'm excited. I don't know what steps need to be taken, but I know that like we're going to work through it and we're going to take the baby steps together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm so excited for you.
Me too. Thanks.
I want to talk just a little bit about you being such a great YouTuber. What do you think makes a great YouTuber?
I've always said this when people ask like how should I get into YouTube? How should I be a YouTuber? Like, my biggest thing I always say is you have to really want to do it if you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just want to do it because you want to make a buck, or if you just want to do it because you want to be famous, like, baby, that ain't going to cut it. Like, you need to, I'm also speaking as, like, a content creator instead of, like, an influencer. Like, do you agree that influencers and creators are two different things?
Yeah.
I've really always thought this. An influencer, I feel like, will post things daily and stuff like that to influence people and stuff like that. A creator, I think, will take time to like hone in on something, craft it, create something. I feel like as a creator, you want to make sure that whatever you're making is really like something for you and like makes you really happy mm-hmm. and makes you really passionate, and then you can put that out. That's what makes a good YouTuber, in mm-hmm. my opinion. I think you want to, well, two types of YouTubers, actually. You could either put your all into something and like clearly it'll show and translate through editing and videos that like you're passionate about it. Mm-hmm. Or be consistent as shit and post daily vlogs every day. And then you could be successful that way.
Do you think that would still work on YouTube in particular, posting a daily vlog every day?
I feel like the Paul brothers like kind of showed that it could.
But do you think that's still a thing?
I
that could still work?
We're going back backwards in sort of in terms of social media, YouTube. I think people are realizing that short form might not be the best forever. Mm-hmm. Thank God y'all are catching up. sorry, love TikTok so much. I'm lying. Sorry. I'm a YouTuber at heart, I think. I just need like to really create. I like creating something. Did you see my YouTube video or YouTube channel that I have like a music video, a cover video, a dance video? I'm like a short film.
Yeah, I'm obsessed. Like, you're a great YouTuber.
Thank you. Well, I don't even. Thanks, actually. Let me just take that compliment. I like it. I like it a lot. And if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it well. That's mm-hmm. the thing about me.
What about growing your audience?
Something I learned a lot of years ago, like it was instilled into my brain, is supply and demand. And I don't know if that is only for business, but what my managers were telling me back in the day was if I supply too much, there won't be a lot of demand. So if I give a lot of content, people won't be like wanting it so bad. But if there's a lot of demand and I'm not giving content, that's also an issue. So there has to be like a balance of supply and demand.
Oh, that's
so
interesting.
And why I was thinking about this for you is because you post a lot, mm-hmm. like a lot. So to try maybe, but I also, that's why I'm like, I don't know if this is good advice because I don't think so, but try and make the girls demand more.
Really?
I don't know if that's good advice. I just heard it and it's stuck for some reason.
No, maybe there's something to that.
It makes sense in a certain aspect. Like, you know, when celebrities won't show everything and it's mm-hmm. like the curtain kind of. Yeah. If you close the curtain a little bit, people want to see what's behind there.
Yeah. Okay, I should play with that. I think
play with it, but also do not take it with a grain of salt, girl.
Yeah. I feel like me posting a lot is new.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, actually, but that's the thing. That's when I started engaging, I think, then, huh?
Maybe. Yeah. So I don't know. But I also think that maybe depends on the platform.
Yeah. No, it does.
And I mean, people always say with TikTok, like, post as much as you can.
100%. And I think actually a lot of feedback I always hear is put yourself everywhere.
I'm going to try it. Okay, we'll try it. I should try everything.
I think I also went through this era with a couple of my friends when I was, we were like really like established already. And we were like, let's hold back and only post like when we're like at our most iconic. And that did work for a sec, but then you lose grasp of like the realness.
Mm.
So there's a balance.
Got it. What about for someone who's starting out? What advice would you give them?
Consistency. Always like that. Just like, that's it.
Consistency as far as like posting every day?
Content. Yeah. Or once a week, if it's YouTube once a week. If it's
like be
TikTok
consistent with the day?
Be consistent with your content.
Oh.
Don't leave the girls like waiting and questioning where you are. I do that a lot and I think it backfires a lot.
Really?
Yeah, you should not. Imagine your favorite YouTuber. You want to see like, you don't, if they go missing, you're like, ¿Dónde está la biblioteca? Like, I don't want that. Like,
how often do you think on YouTube you should be uploading a week?
I like once a week. It's a little hard for me, mm-hmm. but I think once a week is nice. It's consistent. It's like you give the girls time mm-hmm. between the videos.
And do you do the same day every week?
Okay. Sundays.
I'm a Sunday girl too.
Yeah, Sundays just feel right.
Yeah.
I'm like, let me upload and go to the training post.
Literally. Yeah. What about TikTok? How often do you think people should be uploading on TikTok?
You're asking the wrong one. I don't know. I post once a month.
But your ideal scenario, what do you think if someone's starting out?
Depends on, if someone's starting out, probably once a day.
Once a day?
Yeah, like you need to get your face seen. Mm-hmm. You need to get yourself seen, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
So am I lying about, okay.
No, I think what you were saying is more true so in some aspects. Oh. And it also depends like on someone starting out versus someone who's already established.
That's what I was thinking,
yeah. I agree. I that's something to think about. I love when someone gives me something to think about.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, Mario, it's been a pleasure chatting with you.
What? We're done? Okay, I have to pee anyways. Thank you so much for having me, TK. Seriously. And anytime you want to have me back, I'm here because you give good questions.
Thank you, Mario.
You have the talk of the talk.
Please come anytime. I just adore you and I'm so excited for this year for you.
Thanks, me too. Scared but excited.
I think it's going to be a really pivotal year.
For sure.
It might be hard because it's like a transformation year, but you have to look at it that way and embrace it.
I think last year was a transformation. This year's the go.
Okay,
this year's the like making moves.
Making moves.
Yeah,
wait,
just,
I'm
like,
so excited
going.
For
yeah.
you.
Thank you.
And I'm rooting for you.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Where can everyone follow you?
Just, you know, around Mario Selman. Look it up. You'll find it.
Mario Selman everywhere. Mm-hmm. Guys, send him a DM. Root for him.
Please. Give me love. Give me support. I need it.
Love you guys so much. Thanks for tuning in. And be sure to make someone else's day this week. We love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Just
like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.